change batteries. Asking me questions I don't remember seeing before, but we're good. Luke chapter 23. We're going to start reading in verse 38. And we'll know the context as soon as I read this one verse, but we're going to go through verse 43. Luke chapter 23, and it says in verse 38, and the subscription which was written over him on the cross in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Obviously, it's the crucifixion of our Lord. This is the King of the Jews. Now, over in Matthew's gospel, we have one verse. It says, both thieves, they're hanging on either side of Christ. They both cast the same in his teeth. They were both reviling him. We have the story of one criminal, one malefactor. One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. But the other criminal, malefactor, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou now fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he looked at the Lord and said, Lord, remember me when you comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now there is no question, this one thief was redeemed. There's no, it's not me, interpreting, it's just Christ said, you will be with me today in paradise. That's what the scripture says. The scriptures are without error, so I'm going to leave it there. But what we have here is a scene. There's three men. They're left to die a hostile and painful death. They're hanging on crucifixion. Two of them were criminals, justly sentenced to die. The other one, our Lord, was harmless, as we say, as a newborn child. But he is even of pure eyes than to behold evil, but he's hanging on the tree. Charged, innocent, yet by man guilty. He's a scapegoat. As our eternal substitute, he surely must suffer, bleed, and die. That's why he's on the cross. He wasn't up there for himself. He was up there for us, if we know him. Now, I want to draw our attention to this one dying thief. This one by whom, if we as well, by God's grace, if we duplicate his convictions, his repentance, his confessions, we surely will find his acceptance. If we look at this one man, this one criminal, they're saved. He was saved by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I believe the story of this one thief could also be stated, Paul stated it this way in 1 Timothy 1 verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I, Paul, obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life eternal. I believe this thief is a pattern. A lot of people say they repent, but they need to be repented of. But this man's repentance, his convictions, his confessions, we know from the scriptures that God received him. So this man on the hanging on the cross, one, there's two, but There's three, but one. It could be a pattern. To them which should hereafter believe. Christ came to save, as he says back in the verse before this in 1 Peter, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I believe the thief on the cross should say the same thing. Of whom I am chief. As this one thief, this awful man, this wicked sinner, there is hope for him, there is hope for you and I in the blood and righteousness of the Son of God. We're going to look at six notable things in this one thief that should give us hope. Six things in this, go back to Luke, in this one thief that should give us hope. And one of the malefactors which were hanged on the tree railed him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. But the other, now we know it's in Matthew, because we back there in the back, Nathan shared out of Matthew, well, the verse before that said, both malefactors railed on Christ. So they're both. But something happens. Something happens. The other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? The first thing that we see here is an awareness, a heightened awareness, that showed his concern about the reviling of Christ. Now, Paul said he was a pattern. I should have kept my finger there. But in verse 13, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. And in verse 13, I, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. There's a heightened awareness. Now, Paul didn't. He was just persecuting the church. He was just going about his business. But he says about himself, he was a blasphemer, a persecutor. As the Spirit begins his good work upon the conscience, I thought about my own experience, we begin to pull back. A conversation with friends, and the Lord was working, and some of the things they were saying never bothered me before. It started to bother me. There's something terribly wrong about what's going on, to say it in my own terms, as it relates to Christ and his work. There's something terribly wrong about what's going on. I began to see that my friends weren't really my friends. Now, I have friends that are outside the gospel, but I will say this, they're getting fewer and fewer. Because if you bring up the gospel, there's always confrontation. Just won't talk about it. Talk about the weather, sports, taxes, economy. We'll talk about anything, but we don't want to talk about that. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. This is what I'm talking about. And if you're a believer, if you're not a believer, but the Lord is starting to do, you're starting to wonder, maybe that preacher, that old skinny, bald-headed, bearded preacher up there, maybe he knows what he's talking about. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 3 and 4. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. You begin to feel like something's wrong? Look at the next verse. Wherein they think, who? Your friends. Your acquaintances. They think it's strange that you do not run with them to the same excess of riot And they'll start speaking. Then they find out who your friends are. They'll start speaking evil of you. That's okay. They spoke evil of Christ. Let them talk. Look to Christ. We all want friends. That's part of our problem. We're gregarious people. We're sheep. And sheep are congregate. That's our problem. The problem is that we work with more people than we come to church with. Age differences, all these different things. But you here are my family, and I'm your family. I'm here for you, whatever you, beyond reason. But that's the first thing. This man's awareness was heightened when he showed concern about what was said about Christ. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. Secondly, the second thing we see in verse 41 is, but we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. There's a full acknowledgement of his own sin. It's the same thing that Paul said back in Timothy. He said, I'm the sinner. I'm the chief of sinners, of whom I am chief. This man, he sounds like that one that beat on his chest, the publican. He beat on his chest. Or Paul, who am the chief of sinner? Who? Me, myself, I. He didn't point the finger and say, you all are the chief of sinners, though he could have, that would have been right, but I'm the chief sinner. That's the second thing he said. The third thing he said, now he makes an open confession of the innocence of Christ. He sees himself for what he is, and he makes an open confession. But verse 41, but this man hath done nothing. Who told him that? How did he know that? With God, nothing's impossible. We're limited in our scope and vision, but not with God. This man did nothing amiss. He now makes an open confession of the innocence of Christ. Paul says in verse 16 in 1 Timothy, I obtain mercy. I obtain mercy. How can you obtain mercy? The innocent can only cover the guilty. He saw Christ as innocent as well. The fourth thing, verse 42, faith. Repentance, conviction, you got to have faith. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. He turns to a fellow crucified sufferer and calls him Lord and declares his belief, the sinner, that he has a kingdom. How? Why? We're in the same. How is he going to save anybody? Well, when faith, it doesn't look at the situation with her eyes. It looks by faith, and he sees that this man has a kingdom. Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. He saw him as king, saw him as Lord. Well, we saw this morning. I've got this so marked up in my study Bible. I've got it so marked up in this Bible. Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, this guy's dying. He's minutes away from taking his last breath. He looks upon another person who's dying, minutes away from his last breath, and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Abraham, not being weak in faith, considered not now the dead, that his body was dead, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. There's two dead. He's dead, she's dead. Now, if you're looking at it, it's impossible. Not with God. Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is a pattern. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. That's saying something right there. That's saying something right there. And then fifthly, he has a prayer. His prayer, remember me. Two words, remember me. People think they're going to be heard through their scripture says they're much speaking. Talk, talk, talk. Speak, speak, speak. They talk to God as he's a familiar. Think upon my poor, guilty soul is what he's saying. I know I'm at fault. I'm blameworthy, but I trust you and only you with no merit or works of my own for you to reconcile me unto God. That's the fifth thing he did. The sixth thing he did, the last thing he did upon this earth was begged to be remembered by our Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Remember me based upon your good and gracious covenant. Lord, remember me. Begging. Begging. Here he is. This thief. This one. Unable to do anything. He's nailed it hand and foot upon the tree, so he absolutely could do nothing. Salvation is all of grace, and none of our puny, worthless works. You got this guy right here who's a pattern. Now, if the Lord does something for you, and you're not hanging on a cross, and you're not in a hospital bed, you're not in the last hours, confess the Lord in baptism and let us walk together in new life. But this man, this shows the this is such a beautiful picture. The utter solitariness, the utter fact that salvation is all in God's hands. He could do nothing. And you got election. You got predestination. You got divine discrimination. Why not both of them? John 3:16. Why not both of them? One. Yet he is saved, he's called, he's redeemed by love divine. Verse 43, and Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today, that is in the Hebrew, Greek, this day. This day. You can talk about purgatory. You can talk about waiting. You can talk about suspense. You can talk about stalling. There's none of that. Today, you're with me. Completely, absolutely, positively, his sins will be remembered no more. He's hanging on the cross because he's a criminal. He's vile. He's contemptible. He's a menace to society. In this society, the next society, it's not going to be brought up. Sins are cast behind God's back by the person and the work of Christ. Today, this day, in the twinkling of an eye, so we look at this history, this text, with hope, genuine hope. Christ came to seek and to save, to reclaim the worst of sinners, all sorts of sinners. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I looked that up. Paradise, it simply means Eden before the fall. Future happiness. I really, no words that I can think of can accurately describe this kingdom. I just know it's paradise. It's paradise. Peaceful? Yes. Restful? Yes. Glorious? Yes. Wondrous? Yes. All the things we seek for now, but they're so hard. They're so fleeting. But if we could have the faith like Abraham, like this, to look over. Oh, this is the deathbed confession. Whatever, if you want to say that, if you want to think that, I'll take it. I'll take it. And what makes paradise paradise? Christ will be with us forever and ever and ever. Today, you'll be with me. I can't even think of what to say. With Christ. But we're with Christ now. And all things are for us. And I know we struggle. Because a believer, you're supposed to struggle. This is the world. The world hates God. It hates our master. But take refuge like this thief, this vagabond. Take refuge like him. Own up to your sinnerhood. See him as God, can do anything. Confess. Actually, the title of this message was Conviction, Repentance, Confession, and Acceptance. To be accepted in the Beloved. Does that mean everything's going to go away and everything's going to be fine? I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know what book you're reading. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. Let's struggle together. Let's look to Christ. Let's don't delay. Let's cry unto him and come unto him today while it is called today. May the Lord honor and bless his word. Nathan, would you close us, please?